Welcome to the Organic Content Marketing Podcast with your host, Katie Toby Grinley. I'm here to share what I've learned about content, marketing, building a community from running my multiple businesses. So get ready for tips, trainings, and mindset shifts so you can create not only epic content, but an incredible business. Welcome back to another episode of Organic Content Marketing. Today, I am joined by the lovely Meg from The Joy Project. Meg is a life coach and also an ADHD coach. And Meg is one of my fellow ADHD friends. Hi, Meg.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me as well.
I'm so excited to have you on and talk all things ADHD and business. Love to know, like, how you even got started as a ADHD business coach, because like that to me is something that I've only like recently heard of in the last year or so. So I'd love for you to, you know, share a little bit about that if you can.
The reason I kind of decided to pursue it, I'd done my life coaching, so I'm ICF trained, so like International Coaching Federation, super important to me that I got like the best qualifications I could. But then another part of I guess my social media presence, personal brand if you like, is that I was just super open about the fact that I have ADHD. And I had seeked out an ADHD coach myself. So I specifically wanted to work with somebody who like obviously knew a lot about ADHD. And I had previously, I actually did look at like ADHD like therapy, but then I realized that I was able to kind of come to terms with, you know, the not knowing. So I didn't really need somebody to help me with my past. I needed somebody to like basically, you know, help me work out how I was now gonna work with my brain. Because a lot of people, when they go through diagnosis, they have this feeling of like, I feel like I now just don't know anything, like how to do anything. Because, you know, you've just been told that actually that thing you've been fighting for forever, you were never going to cure it. It's just the way your brain works. So I seeked out an ADHD coach. I worked with her for about 8 weeks, and that was really, really helpful. Carried on probably being even more confident to talk about my own ADHD online. So then I started attracting clients who either had ADHD themselves, and that was, you know, part of maybe why they wanted some life coaching, or they had ADHD and I could tell, but they weren't quite aware of it yet. And honest to God, I have literally had clients since then get back in touch with me and be like, I'm going for diagnosis because XYZ. And I'm like, oh my God, really? Like, what a surprise kind of thing. But I realized that, you know, as wonderful as my life coach training was, the way it was structured just wasn't quite specific enough for helping people with ADHD. And even using the word structure, like trying to structure a session with somebody who's got ADHD was quite tricky. So I was like, right, there must be, you know, a way. I've had an ADHD coach, like, you know, there must be a way that I can kind of up my skills. So I came across an amazing training program, and I did that for 6 weeks last year. And then just started putting it into practice. And I like to do a bit of a blend. So it absolutely is looking at, you know, quite specific things to do with ADHD. So around executive functioning, we're talking about memory, focus, procrastination, RSD, all these wonderful things that come with having our kind of brain. But also I like to call myself quite ADHD positive. So also looking at actually what a wonderful opportunity for you to now find out where your kind of brain is like brilliant for, you know, certain things that you might want to do in life. So looking at your ADHD strengths, if you like. But because of my life coaching training, I do kind of weave in some of that aspects to it as well. So, you know, when you're seeking an ADHD coach, it's absolutely, you know, obviously important that they know a lot about ADHD, because I do think there's an educational part to it. But it's also important to have somebody who's just able to basically hold that space. You know, I have sessions sometimes with clients where they really just need to get a lot out, or they really want to talk about the way their brain has been recently, and maybe they are scared to share that with partner, friends, blah, 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 blah. So it's holding that space for somebody as well, which is the epitome of coaching in general, really.
Yeah, it's quite hard, isn't it, when you first realise as an adult, especially I think as a female, because obviously it's mostly, you know, in the past being associated, in particular boys, I think it's actually really hard to then kind of like say to your family and friends, you know, I've got ADHD. And there's a lot that comes with that, isn't there, like mentally.
I always say, I think it's really unfortunate that all of the assessments and criteria are based on extremely negative traits of ours. You know, when you're being assessed for it, you know, the psychiatrist or the assessor or whoever it is, like, they're not sat there going like, so are you like amazing with ideation and creativity? Yeah. Are you extremely empathetic? Like, they're not looking at anything like that. So the whole process of being diagnosed is so negative.
It's horrible.
No wonder people come out of it.
It's the same with the dyslexia assessment. Mm-hmm. I can remember being in my dyslexia assessment for about an hour and a half. And the whole time I was in there, just feeling really stupid. Because, like, all these weird, random things you are asking me to do, I cannot do. And, yeah, I can remember coming out of that assessment still to this day and just feeling so shit about myself.
The whole point of, you know, whether it's dyslexia or ADHD or, you know, whatever it is, that if you think about ADHD, like, it's, you know, ADHD, that D is for disorder, you know, it's classed as a disability. And I know for a lot of people, it's really important that they can, you know, that it is classed as a disability so that they can get, you know, support and things like that. But for me, something that I really believe quite strongly, bit of a die on this hill kind of thing, is that actually it's only disabling and it's only disordering to have this category of mind, if you like, because of the way the world's set up. The world is set up for more neurotypical, importance-based nervous system, that kind of brain, 9 to 5, really structured learning, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's not that we are any less or anything like that, or we're broken or what have you. It's just that the world that we currently live in is not quite set up for our kind of brain. And I think that's, you know, all right, maybe you can say that I'm a bit toxically positive about that, but I just think I have a real thing about we can sit in this place of blame and lack and kind of, you know, really kind of shake your fist at the world that it doesn't get you, and that it's not, you know, doesn't help your ADHD brain and how severely disabled you are, blah, 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 blah. But actually it's like, okay, or can we take a little bit of responsibility, a little bit of accountability for the fact that, yes, this is your brain. And, you know, I think I did something the other day that, you know, when you get to really know your brain and work with it, you can win Olympic medals, you can create fantasy worlds for children, you can put a computer in every home in the world. That's Simone Biles. That's Walt Disney, that's Bill Gates. All three of those people have ADHD. So don't tell me that you're not capable of incredible things.
Yeah, I'm all up for finding your strengths and like using them to your full potential. Absolutely. It's kind of almost like giving, you know, two fingers to the people who ever said you can't do that, or, you know, whatever they have said in the past. So it's kind of like, okay, well, I might not be very good at this, but actually I'm bloody brilliant at this. And it's like, I was talking to my husband the other day, I had a co-working session with my engaging content club members on Monday for 2 hours, and I literally got all my admin done for the in those 2 hours. And I think it was, yeah, so I must have gone into his office because he also works from home. Must have been about 2:30, and I was like, so yeah, I'm just gonna go and take like the dog out because like I finished all my calls and like I don't actually have like any admin. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I did that like real hyper focus co-working session and I just basically got like 5 million tasks done. And he was like, oh my god, can like I like tap into that? And I was like, no, you have a shit brain, I have a brilliant brain.
It is though, isn't it? Like, it, I will add, it is great to have, I've got a very supportive partner as well, and he will sometimes come in, and apparently I've got facial expressions that say what kind of state I'm in, and yeah, he will come in and go to talk to me and then go, oh, wait, are you in hyperfocus? And I'm like, yes, yeah, I am. And he's like, okay, I'll come back.
Yeah, I literally have to, like, just as my husband comes through my office door, like literally go like hand up, no, not available to talk, because I get really angry otherwise.
Oh yeah, being in hyper focus and then having that disrupted,
oh, so angry.
I get panicky. I'm like, oh no, where was it? I need to bring it back. I need to, like,
I know, because you're so frightened of losing it because you never know when it's going to come back.
No, I was, and that's a really good point, actually. I talk to a lot of people, or a lot of clients talk to me about consistency, like, oh, I'm just not consistent. And actually, like, it there's no cure for that. There's no special exercise that I'm aware of that anyone's come across yet of how an ADHD brain stays consistent. And one of the first things that I always say to people is, like, what do you define as consistent? What does consistency mean to you? And usually it's a very neurotypical answer of, oh, well, I should do the same thing every day at the same time or whatever. And I'm like, okay, what do you want it to mean? Like, how, what are you happy with? What's good enough, kind of thing? And that actually there's something in consistency about just like a, almost like a flow, or a saw it described recently as like flexibility, finding flexibility. So, you know, I've noticed recently that I am actually managing to get myself to the gym 3 times a week. I don't know how, I've never done it before in my life, but it's happening. Okay, if next week I don't go 3 times a week, I get to choose what then happens. Do I now choose that I am an absolute ridiculous human being who's not consistent because of my ADHD brain and et cetera, woe is me? Or do I get to choose that actually this week I was a bit more flexible with the consistency of going to the gym? I actually had a lot on with work. Yeah. You know, we had friends visiting, whatever it is. And cool, let's see what happens next week. So, you know, the consistency thing is, you know, you were saying, like, I don't know when it's going to come again. It's like, okay, well, the flip of that is it is going to come again.
Yeah.
So, and when that comes again, let's celebrate it. Let's obviously utilize it.
Yeah.
But the amount of wasted energy that I see people putting into just being so mean to themselves about not being able to be a certain way. And it's like, you could, yes, okay, maybe some people in the world can, with an ADHD brain, learn to be like those ways, but you are really pushing against a way that your brain doesn't want to work. So how about we take all of that energy and put it into finding out how your brain does want to work?
Yeah, absolutely, Meg. And like what you said then, like, what does consistency mean to you? That is literally one of the first things that I will ask, like, my clients when it comes to their content, with their social media, with their marketing. It's like, actually, what does consistent look like to you? Like, what are you actually able to manage? Because let's just forget all of these made up rules that someone on the internet has somewhere made up. Because that worked for them. Great, it worked for them. But that doesn't mean that it will work for you, or you have to do it in that way. Like, you know, we are in control of running our own businesses. So if consistency to you is actually 3 times per week, then let's just go with that. Like, that's amazing. 3 posts per week, brilliant. Okay, let's go with that. Okay, 1 week you miss it. Okay, well, don't worry, because it happens to all of us. And like you said, you can either sit in that energy of like, oh my God, I messed up. I haven't posted 3 times. I only posted once this week. It's just like, yeah, just be a lot kinder to yourself, because actually, like, you are not selling oxygen, like, unless you are selling oxygen, but pretty unlikely that you are. But yeah, we're not selling oxygen. So it's kind of like, it's okay to, like, you know, give yourself some space. And I think as well, like, we often think that we have to, like, be at our desks 9 to 5 or 8 to 4, whatever it is. And actually, I think a lot of the time that can really, like, dampen our creativity, because I don't know about you, Meg, but I need, like, quite a lot of space in my calendar, like, to then, like, have space in my head.
Yeah, 100%. It's interestingly, I've nicked it off there's a guy called Joseph Pack that he hangs around a lot on LinkedIn, but he talks about not being medicated with ADHD and how he's kind of managed that. And I'm not medicated either, so I'm always fascinated by how he manages to do it. But he has, and I've literally nicked it off him, he has I don't know if it was a Friday, I think it was a Friday, he calls it like a chaos day. So I've absolutely nicked that now. So I have a CEO day on a Monday, which is just like admin or maybe some content creation or whatever my CEO brain feels like doing. And then I have calls like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which I'm also trying to bring down a little bit. And then Friday is a chaos day, and there's nothing booked into it at the start of the week, but towards as it's getting in, I might be able to do like a podcast on a Friday or, you know, whatever it is. I have all this white space to be like, right, what's left over that I can now like chill out my nervous system, because I know that I've got time to do it. Or maybe if I've had a really good week, I'll get to a Friday and there's nothing to do, and now I've now got a Friday back, and, you know, how wonderful is that? But I think it's so true what you say about like the 9 to 5 thing. And this is why, you know, I completely appreciate some people who are employed, who don't have their own business. Like that can be harder to manage. But I definitely know when I went fully self-employed, that 9 to 5 thing was still kind of stuck in my brain. Cause you know, I've been in corporate for whatever, what was it, 12 years or what have you. So, you know, that's there. And actually starting to realize that sometimes, I did it last night, I just worked all evening, and it's not that I had to, it's I really wanted to. I really, really enjoyed it as well. I really got into what I was doing. And again, supportive partner who gets it is really helpful. But you know, I'm not gonna be mean to myself that I finished work at like 9:30 last night, because actually if I'd have forced myself to like down tools at 5, I would have made dinner and then probably just binge Netflix for the evening, and would have been more bothered about the fact that that's what I'd done. So, and again, comes back to that word of flexibility. Your brain is equipped for that. An ADHD brain is equipped for being able to be that kind of, you know, flow. It's that thing of I don't like work-life balance. I call it like work-life blend, which I think is just far more appropriate for the way that we work best.
Yeah, definitely. And I've realized that you know, come around 4 o'clock, like my energy is like, ugh, I'm done. So like I will, sometimes that will be me finished for the day. Sometimes like once I've finished dinner, I'll be like, right, actually, I just, you know, would really like to get these couple of things done that actually I didn't have the focus for, like the brain power to do, but really, I would just really like to get them, you know, like out of my head, ticked off. And actually I've realized that it's okay to do that. It's absolutely okay to do that, rather than like before I felt like, oh my God, like they're working on an evening or they're working on a weekend. Oh my God, like they cannot have like all their shit together. And it's just like, that is so like BS, do you know what I mean?
Well, it's based on the narratives that we've learned, the stories we've learned about the business world of like, you know, the guy that gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I don't know, does Peloton for an hour and then starts his day. And then, you know, or the guy that only sleeps like 4 hours a night, or, you know, the woman that is like, you know, in the power heels and doesn't leave her desk until 9 o'clock, you know, all that kind of stuff. We learn that, oh my God, that's going like above and beyond. But, yeah, you know, actually, when you think about it, if I think about like my day to day, for example, like I was up at 6, I did have a gym class at 6:30, and actually for about 20 minutes I just had this really good idea, so I just sat and like scribbled it down. I got back from the gym, I took my dog on a massive walk, I came home, had some breakfast, like, you know, like you say about that white space in your calendar, like,
yeah.
Basically, the reason that I actually finally went for diagnosis was because I love telling this story. I worked for an agency, a communications agency, and it's the first time I'd ever worked for an agency before. You had to complete timesheets, so you had to account for every minute of your day.
Oh, and my gosh.
I either couldn't remember what I'd done, like how long it had taken me to do things, and there was no tool that I could come across that it was like, you know, time yourself. Well, I'd just forget to hit, you know, finish, you know, just nothing seemed to work. But what it also did is I then reflected on like my entire career, where I was like, oh my God, how have I ever got through like an 8-hour day? And I was like, well, I didn't, you know, in previous jobs where I was just sat at a desk, I'd maybe do a bit of work and then I'd be like, I'm bored of this now. So I'd go chat to somebody, or, you know,
yep.
I was always in jobs that were quite, you know, quite interpersonal, you know. So that, you know, having somebody say, no, you need to account for every minute of your day. We need to know how long it took you to write your emails, create that presentation, gosh, blah, blah, blah. And I was just lying through my teeth, because when I'm like, yes, I finished the day at 5:30 today and it took me 3 hours to complete this presentation, whatever, I was up that night till like 11 o'clock getting it done, because for some reason at around about 9 o'clock at night, all of a sudden my brain was like, okay, let's work.
Yeah.
And you know, that literally comes down to, and I do think this is starting to happen a lot more, thankfully, we are now questioning what's right and wrong in terms of how we work. And, you know, the Industrial Revolution has a lot to answer for, yeah, in terms of telling humans how they should and shouldn't work. And it's one of my favorite mentors that I used to work with, she always used to be like, who says, like, you know, anybody, if you said should do this or should do that about anything, she'd be like, it says who's the boss, who's saying that has to be the case? And yeah, I do think working for yourself and then with an ADHD brain on top of that, you gotta get into that groove of actually, how do I best work?
Yeah. Did you know that we used to have 2 sleeps like a night? So you
yeah, used to go, like in the morning or something.
Yeah, and like you know, that was like you'd get up at 1 o'clock and like it would be like quite a social hour and people would go like round one another's houses for like drinks and stuff, and then you'd be like, all right, okay, I'm going back to bed now, and you'd have like another sleep.
I remember watching like, I think it was like Downton Abbey or something, and it was like, I was like, why do they always seem to like nap in the afternoon? And then I'm like, oh, I'd actually quite like a nap in the afternoon. And then it's like,
you totally can have a nap in the afternoon, Meg.
You totally can do that, you know. So, you know, they always talk about, if you think about like LinkedIn 5 years ago, it was talking about like how to get over the afternoon slump, like drink more coffee, like have with people, all this kind of stuff. And you do look at it now and think, why are we forcing people to behave in a way that you're not getting the best out of them? Like,
at all. Like, and I think that was a big thing I had when I was still employed, was almost feeling bad for saying that actually, because I ended up dropping a day, I dropped a Wednesday, and I remember kind of saying, like, I don't know how to explain this to you, but actually, if you give me less time in the week, I will get done the exact amount of work than if you make me drag it out over 5 yeah. days. And unfortunately, what I got back was, oh yeah, but that wouldn't be fair on other people, and all that kind of stuff. Like, basically just being treated like sheep, like yeah. no individualism whatsoever.
Yeah, it is really working out, isn't it, what works best for you, and that can look whatever it looks like. So your day, yeah, can look like however you want it to look like, and you just have to go with what works for you and your brain.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's the same with that consistency. Like, a lot of ADHDers, we struggle with the idea of like routine as well. Like, oh, I just need to get into a routine. And actually, like, it can look completely different for me every day, based just dependent on where my brain is at. And for women also, like, where you're at in your cycle as yeah. well, super important. And for me, what I've worked out is, if you think of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I've been talking to my clients a lot about this recently, like trying to like get into a routine, or like, you know, I had a client which I was talking to the other day, she was trying to like cram for an interview that she's got and finish this like coursework that she's got going on, and she couldn't work out why she just could not make herself do it. And by the end of her session, we worked out she hadn't been eating properly, she hadn't been sleeping properly, she hadn't been given, like, fundamental physiological needs were not being met. So how did she expect her body, brain to function and give her the rest? Mm. And there is an argument that, okay, maybe neurotypical brains are able to do that a little easier than us because, you know, importance-based nervous system. But for ADHDers, I think it's absolutely, like, it's so important that you're getting those absolute basic needs, sorted, whatever you want to call it, before you can really hope to get on with anything else in your day.
Yeah, definitely. I know some weeks, well, a particular week, I need a lot more sleep. Like, I'm not just talking about 8 hours. I'm talking like, I need 8 hours. I can stay awake for a few hours and then I will need another sleep. And I've just given in to that. I know it's not normal, but that's normal for me.
Well, you're not even giving in. You're just meeting the need that your body...
Yeah, basic need. A basic need.
There was an article or a bit of research came out recently to say that we got it all wrong. Men need 7 to 8 hours of sleep, like an evening or a night or what have you. Women need like 8 to 10 or something. So it was quite an interesting headline that was like, oh, right. So basically women are just chronically sleep deprived because yeah. we're going to get the 8 hours. And actually we do need a little bit more. And I'm completely making this up here. I don't know if there's research. But if you think about an ADHD brain and how knackering it is, how tiring it is, like, I wonder if actually we need a little bit more on top of that as well.
Yeah, all that thinking, all that processing that we do. Yeah, do some research on that so we can, like, just say, actually, it's scientifically proven, not just Meg and Katie say.
I think you'd have to, like, I'd do a poll on Instagram, like, kind of like, are you a female ADHD business owner? How tired are you all the freaking time? But no, you're completely right. This is the thing, you know, this is why we're hitting so many obstacles with ADHD and with getting more people support, is because, you know, GPs, psychiatrists, assessors, like, everything they have to work off is research done on men and young boys. And I think, you know, again, being a little optimistic Sally that I am, the hope is in the next 5 to 10 years, like, we could see a completely different landscape where actually, you know, ADHD is being diagnosed and is accepted as much as something like dyslexia or, you know, what have you, this whole thing of like, oh, everybody thinks they're a bit ADHD nowadays. It's like, well, the people that are coming forward and that are dragging themselves to their GPs and are, like you said, having those hard conversations with family members are the ones that have literally sat up at night. They've watched every single TikTok video to do with ADHD. They're kind of having that epiphany moment. Like, you know, I haven't talked to one client who isn't like, this is horrendous. What do I do? Like, you don't just assign yourself to that unless you really, truly think there's something different going on.
Yeah, I've always known that, like, I was different, but I didn't know or understand why. And then at 18, I was diagnosed with dyslexia and I was like, oh, well, it must be that. And then I think I got to my late 20s, early 30s, and I was like, my brain is so different to everyone else's. And I just didn't understand. I just couldn't work out what it was. And then I remembered my English teacher at sixth form saying to me, when I told her, oh, I've been diagnosed with dyslexia, and she was like, oh, I knew you had something, but I didn't think it was dyslexia. And I just wish she had like been honest and said what she really thought, because I just thought, wow, I could have saved like a lot of time here.
Yeah, no, literally. And that's, you know, that's the thing. Yes, a lot of women are being diagnosed because we have been basing the criteria on how boys and how men kind of show up with those symptoms. And it's just not, it's just, we just know it's not the women, it's not the way women you know, have it. That's not the way that we show up with it. So there's a lot to be done. But on the flip side of that, I would also say that there is this kind of wonderful community starting to come together where like you really aren't alone. You aren't alone with it. And also, I'd like to think, as long as you surround yourself, I guess, with the right people, that you people, even if they don't have it, are kind of getting quite informed. You know, my partner has, you know, a best friend who recently got diagnosed. And so he's kind of like, okay, I need to learn about this kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. But that's such a great attitude to have, though, isn't it? But I am very aware that not everyone, because obviously we've done so much research on it, because, you know, it's something that we have. Like, what do you wish that everyone, like, neurotypical knew about ADHD brains or people with ADHD?
I guess, do you know what? The exact same thing that I want ADHDers to know about ADHD. It's a category of mind. It is just a different way that a brain works. It's not any less, it's not broken, it's not less functioning or anything like that. It's just different. And there are some wonderful ways that neurotypical brains and ADHD brains, when they work together, can really kind of like complement each other.
Yeah.
And that's in a relationship, friendships, colleagues, clients, you know, whatever it is, there's room for everyone at the table.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Meg. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, that was such a beautiful way of saying it.
Toxically positive.
Absolutely. I'm all for positivity. I love it. Meg, it has been such a pleasure to talk with you today about ADHD and business.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. So we will pop all your links below, mm-hmm. So your Instagram account and also your website, but people can find you at The Joy Project.
Yeah, just come and have a chat with me on Instagram. I'm on it more than I care to admit.
Yeah, and if anyone is listening to this and you think I might have ADHD or I need some ADHD friends, then yeah, definitely reach out, because we're very friendly and we're always happy to chat about ADHD. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.